Gabriel, could be conceived in her womb. You have the word of truth and you have the spirit of truth, and the two become one because they complement, support, and confirm and create life. And life flows when the word of God and the spirit of God are touching in the same place. Yet the spirit of God often goes before the word of God, because as in the creation, the earth was without form and void and darkness was all over. It was this big mess, a lot like my life. Just, you know, chaos. And yet the spirit of God said, let me come on and hover over this chaos. I'm going to go first. And I'm going to do all of this brooding. And that's what the word meant, to hover or cover. It means brood, like a chicken mother hen would sit over her eggs or her chicks. Just, I'm going to brood. And then when the time the Father set, he said, let there be light. And that was Jesus, according to John's gospel, the first chapter, that the light became flesh and dwelt among us. The word became flesh. And the light overcame the darkness, and darkness could not overcome the light. And bam, all of a sudden order takes place. And light, more than just the light of day and light of, but the light of God began to break in. Now, Jesus is the same function today when he was born into the earth. So Holy Spirit is this brooding, loving, optimistic. The reason I think Holy Spirit goes is he's the one who carries so much hope. And he's never found a mess he can't fix. He's never seen a life he can't bring into divine order and design. He's never looked upon a situation and said, this one's beyond my ability. He is so capable, so able. He's the one that drove out the demons, according to Jesus, by the finger of God. He's the powerhouse. He's the big man. He can do anything. He can look at your debt in your book and say, I can take care of that. He can look at your soul and its torment and say, hey, I can release that. He can do anything because Jesus did everything. He paid the price. Now, Holy Spirit gets to just go. He's like going to a shop, and he can buy anything he wants because it's already been purchased by his Jesus. Amen? So we are in a season. And so I'm just bragging on him. I like Holy Spirit. And I talk about Holy Spirit, Father, Jesus, they're one. Amen. Right? Do you understand that? But often when you commune with God, you see him from a different facet. You discover the Father heart of God, or the Holy Spirit God, or the Son of God, and you commune, and they become very personal. On Wednesday night, we had a service where we asked all the ministers and missions people, nations people, have been out to pray, and we created what was just to be kind of a glory tunnel to walk through. And then we, as people walk through, so they could come into the presence, or outside of the conflict, they could come inside of the presence and in the power. Then they continued that channel, and it just, by the end of the service, everybody had been prayed for and everybody had prayed. And while this was erupting, the Lord began to just encourage me, and I said to everybody, you guys are going to be our ministry team Sunday morning. So we're going to open the same experience for the whole body, and we'll do it at, and all of you that are here, that's, remember, that's your cue. You're going to come up in a little bit, and we'll do it in a real simple way, and don't feel afraid, or I can't, I've got to get to the mall before the parking spaces are gone. You're free to do anything, okay? When we bring this moment, which for some of you, you'll be happy because you're going to get out of church early, because we're going to, about 15 after, 20 after, we're going to just set up a couple lines that will flow from here out, and you're welcome to come walk through and just receive life, receive light, receive joy, receive the walking in the midst of God while we pray for you. And it'll be very easy and simple. If you're going, I want that, but I don't have time for that, we'll begin by praying it for everybody. And if you're just one of those receivers, you're going to get it while you're sitting there, and you can go on with your day. And if you go, I don't want anything to do with anything like that, that's too weird for me, then don't worry, you won't have anything to do with any of it. You'll be fine. You're free. Seriously, because this is the season of freedom. Liberty, liberty, liberty. Everybody be free. And seriously, you have to have that. You have to understand where you are with God when God's working with you. Because if we move as a unit, we have to kind of move in one direction. But we all are unit individual members that are coming alive differently. Some of us are coming alive loudly. Others of us go into quietness. Some of us come into freedom of movement. Others go into stillness. So we have to be free to respond to Holy Spirit and Jesus as he's moving, as well as give liberty to someone else to respond as Jesus is moving with them. Follow me on that? That's a very important thing, because when God moves corporately, he comes with a mighty sound of the rushing wind as Holy Spirit came. And then he individually drops the flame of fire on every head. So what is the most exponential multiplying event in church is when a corporate people can receive an experience together of Holy Spirit and individually incorporate it, internalize it, receive it. So it's not just something everybody heard about, everybody heard it, but they also received it. So that's how we're gonna do something in that direction. Just what we're gonna do. Last week I wanted to begin I was teaching about the second advent and what happens when Christ is matured in his church and the body of Jesus comes alive to the bride of Christ, when we come into our matured sons and daughters. And we took Revelations 12, and we didn't get all the way through it. And I want to continue a quick review, but not so that it takes our time, because I believe this week I want to talk about how we really hold that place or the practice of holding the place. So in Revelations 12, the whole entire chapters we were trying to review, but it's basically three parts of the same event for me. It is the church in travail and prayer, birthing the mature sons of God. It's funny that whatever you pray for, you become. If you pray for nations, you may soon be in nations. You pray for families, you soon be in a family. What you pray for, you will also become. So all of a sudden, the church is in travail, but Satan, the dragon, is ready to devour what's to come of that prayer. And in many of our lives, we've seen that happen, because we just learn to pray. We don't know necessarily how to hold what we pray. But there comes a time in history, and I believe we're in that season, when the church begins to birth maturity, not tossed to and fro, carried around, everybody freaking out, everybody, it's maturity. And this son that is born, even though Satan is there to devour it, cannot be devoured because he's caught up into heaven. Scene one, same scene, but from heaven. Now you see Michael the archangel warring with Satan, the dragon, and his angels. And we see that this battle is for position. In the Bible, we're taught there are three heavens. There is the natural heaven, which is the one we enjoy. We look into the stars. We see the sky, the galaxy. It's a natural, physical heaven. The second heaven is the realm of the commerce. It's where movement takes place in the spiritual world. It is where the principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in the heavenly places dwell. That's the second heaven. Then there's the third heaven, which is where God's throne is, where God dwells, where Christ is seated with the right hand of God, where we have been given a place to sit with Christ in the heavenly places. You can look at that also just in the way we're made up. We are a body. We live inside a body. We have a physical body. That would be like the first heaven. Our soul, mind, will, emotions, our whole intellect, our imagination is like the second heaven. It's where all activity really transpires. It's where commerce takes place, where ideas are formed, where torment is experienced. And then third, our spirit is like the third heaven. That's where God dwells. That's where Christ dwells in our heart by faith. That's where we're born again. So this is the beautiful spirit, our soul, the second heaven, where the war is. So when we look at the war in the second heaven, Michael and his angels, we can see it globally, beyond globally. We can see it in the fullness of that drama, or you can apply the same principles as true about your own walking out a day and not losing your place. Because it's about holding a place. We were born again, and now God says, I want you to hold the place of my victory. And we go, terrific, I want to hold the place of your victory. But we don't understand our adversary, we don't know how he works, and we get swallowed up many times before we learn as we go. And what happens is dragon is the word for fascination. So he's the beautiful one who mystifies, who intrigues, who seduces, who captivates, who captures the innocent and promises them prominence and ruins their lives in multiplicities of ways. That's the dragon, the ancient dragon. That's where it comes from. Now, then you see the serpent. The serpent is the deceiver. He's the subtle one. Did God really say? Brings the question, the doubt, the consider it a second time. Maybe not. Maybe God's doing something other than what he really said. Maybe he really didn't mean what he said. He's a deceiver. This won't hurt you. This won't harm you. Then we have what the word the devil is all listed in one verse. And that is where we get, it's the word diabolos, it's where we get the word for slander. He's a liar, and he's lying constantly to move us out of our place. We lose our balance. We don't know what's true or not because of the means in which he shames us, blames us, and messes up with our mind. And then you have the word Satan, which is the word for accuser, which where he accuses and holds people in a sense of, I got to defend myself. I've got to try to, no, that's not who I really am. That's not what's really going on. But you get barraged, you begin to be overwhelmed, and it's to do three things. To first put you in a position of being accused, then to accept the accusation, or enough people accept it, and you become condemned. That's like being, one is being brought into a court under a charge, the other is to be convicted and now punished with a sentence, a punishment. That's condemnation. And all of that to separate you and me from God's love. God's love, this is Romans 8, God's love is eternal, and it has been reestablished, it's never been removed from us, but we have been joined into Christ, into the love and glory that he enjoyed with Father before the foundation of the world, John 17. So we have been given an incredible union through our new birth. Immediate union. Doesn't get any better than it was given. It just needs to mature, right? It just needs to mature. There's no qualifying. There's no arriving at. There's no proving yourself worthy to be loved. You are just loved. And God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whoever believes in him would not perish. So this enemy, this dragon, finds no place because the prayers of the church has finally brought the church in, the maturing of the church has come into agreement with what Jesus accomplishes. Now, Jesus has accomplished total victory. He already overcame the devil when he was born again in hell. When he was resurrected, he took from Satan the keys of Hades, the keys of death. He stripped him of his authority. He took the principalities and powers and he gathered them and made an open show of them in triumph. He did this. There is no escape from hell for Jesus. He walked triumphantly, victoriously, overcoming in confidence as he escorted captivity captive and ascended on high. So this is our Jesus. He's afraid of no one. We're afraid of everyone. Right? So we've got a little growing up to go. Right? Okay? Don't freak out on me. You're afraid of everybody, just like I am. We all have these, I'm not afraid. Well, what are you trying to control? Whatever you're trying to control, that's what you're afraid of. Okay, but anyway, let's not stop here. Keep going. When this displacement takes place and he's cast down, it says now salvation, now authority, now the kingdom of our God, and now the power or authority of Christ have come. Something that was accomplished completely in Christ has now found its way of expression in the second heaven. Satan finds himself thrown to the earth, and there is this statement, very simple statement, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives unto death. And we shared last week, the simple way for me to say that is, your blood is my answer. To anything and everything and all charges, I say the blood. I don't plead the fifth, I plead the blood. Your blood is my answer. Your word is my future. The word of testimony is the logos. It's the complete sound of God in voice and thought and intent. And all that I discover of him, all that I have seen and all that I hear, that testimony of Jesus becomes my future. That's where I'm headed. Never look at your life and judge your life from where you are. Judge your life from who you are. And it doesn't matter where you are, because you are in Christ. And if you are in Christ, then you have a future and a hope and promises and beauty. And it's all there. And that's the discovery. It's warred over. You see, if you overcome, that means it must be a wrestle, a battle. So I'm using the blood as an answer of charge against the accuser. I'm using the word as an answer, a charge against hopelessness, despair, impossibility, confusion. I'm saying, no, I've got a future and a hope. The word of God, the promises of God. And I love not my life unto death means simply, my life is in your hands. Whatever. I'm not going to fight for my own future. Life here is psuche, soul, the soul realm. Again, because of the fear of death, Satan keeps us all captive. Afraid of speaking, afraid of heights, afraid of talking. Fear of death keeps us in captivity, so Jesus destroyed him who had power of death so that we who were afraid of death would no longer have to be a slave to that fear. But if that's true, we're going to be challenged. We're going to find ourselves, ah! I don't know about you, but I have, ah! 3 or 4 times a day, it seems. Like, ah! I have to collect myself back into the truth. You see, this world, the second heaven, is like ISIS right now. IS, Islamic State, ISIS, Islamic State of Iraq and Syria, ISIL, Islamic State of Iraq and Levant, which is, I don't ever use that one because that's the kind of a French, English providence that would have taken all the way from Iraq and Syria, part of Turkey, Lebanon, or Jordan, Lebanon, all the Israel, and all the way to Cyprus. But in any case, that's illegal. Yeah. But it's happening. Welcome to your world. That is what we're contending against, but yet we're not talking about the war here. We're talking about the victory. The victory happens. The victory happens when you no longer, I no longer, yield to the accuser. I say, hey, you're all right, but who cares? Jesus' blood cleansed me. I am forgiven. I am accepted. I'm not going to argue with you. The blood of the Lamb is my only means of access, and I'm enjoying it, and I'm not going to go to another way to get in. And he says, you have no future. I say, the word of God is my future. Everything God has ever said will come to pass. And all those special promises, they're mine. And Jesus is my future. He's my inheritance. He's my testimony. And you use your mouth because your mouth is where your brain shuts down. Some of us wish somebody's mouth would shut down. But that's right. Somebody talks all the time, they never think. But somebody thinks all the time, doesn't talk. You've got to talk to change your thoughts. So you say, you declare, you decree, we promise, we praise. I don't come to praise God because it's the way I feel. It's because it's the way I want to feel. To have an experience with the word, you have to feel the word. You have to see the word. You have to imagine the word. It has to touch your emotion. It has to be an encounter. This whole union is an encounter. This is a real deal, man. I have heard of President Obama. I saw his picture in the paper. I've read things he said. I've heard what other people say about him. I've read what other people say about him. But I've never met President Obama. Therefore, I do not know President Obama. Now, that's how we as Christians often live. From a way distance when it was meant to meet him. To meet him. And you get undone and you get so thankful, and he touches you, and he removes the shame off of you, and he lifts off the guilt and the pressure and the fear, and it all goes poof. I'm loved and I'm enjoyed and it's so vibrant. That union is what we're being warred over, that oneness of love. It's contended after, and we have to use the blood as the reason I'm being loved so much. His word is my future, so I'm not going to worry so much. And my life is in his hands, so I'm not going to be afraid. And so when we begin to hold that place, and the corporate body is growing up and holding that place, it's not about me, it's about Jesus. It's not about what I did, it's about what he did. It's not about what I'm doing. It's what he's done. I'm not trying to observe to do. I am beholding and becoming. I believe, I receive. Oh, but Satan knows that. So he keeps you off balance, keeps me off balance. He's warring, and so he holds his place in the second heaven. Finally, he loses his place. Salvation comes. The accuser's cast down. The earth is in turmoil. Those who are dwelling in the heaven, it's rejoicing time. So now turn with me to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. That's the review. I'm sorry for the length, but I'm not sorry for the enthusiasm. I can't help it. I am so. I've lived too long. You see, the world that's attacking you is so subtly clothed in religion, performance-based, works-based stuff that's just junk. Just takes you, a vibrant son of God, and causes you off on a genealogy trail or off on a doctrine of words or wondering about this or fighting for that or fixing this or trying to get the rock planet to look better. You've been given an invitation to sit in the glory realm of heaven, to walk in the midst of God and say, oh, my dad, I can't believe what you did, but I am now believing and I want to receive more who you are, and I love you and I adore you and I worship you. Once you're there, you don't want to leave. To get there can be very difficult. What hell doesn't want is for you to live there. So it's fighting us and getting us out of balance. Paul said this, I, Paul, myself, am pleading with you, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. That's just a picture worth stepping into. Meek and gentle Christ. He hasn't proved, he rules the world. He can be meek and gentle. Nobody says anything to what he says. He has such authority. So I'm appealing to you by the meekness and the gentleness. I'm not using force and control and shame and guilt. I'm just calling you into this place, which he's been doing in the chapters previous, who in presence, and now he's speaking of himself, I'm lowly among you. I'm being absent, I'm bold towards you, because these are letters that they've received. But I beg you that when I am present, I may not be bold with the confidence by which I intend to be bold against some who think of us as though we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal or earthly, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Now we're talking about basic training of the war, the basic practical of working this out inside our little second heaven, inside our soul. First off, we're not trying to physically change anything to feel better about everything. We're not worrying out here. It's here. And what it is it is strongholds. A stronghold, you'll see that there are three thoughts. There's a stronghold, there's an argument, and there's a thought. It starts off with pulling down strongholds, casting down imaginations or arguments, and every high thing exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought captive. So basically what happens in life is this. Thoughts are introduced. They can come through trauma. They can come through people's voices. They can come people accusing you, calling you names. It can come through experience in the way you then interpret the experience. But they're thoughts. Thoughts that continue to build, they formulate around each other, and they become an argument. An argument is not like an argumentable person, but it means like it's a reasoning fact. I reason this way. Because of this thought and that thought and that thought, I come to this conclusion. This conclusion is every time I'm about to go forward, I go backwards because of my experiences. I want to believe God for healing, but my past experience of teaching doesn't allow me to consider that thought of healing. So it's an argument. It's something that holds me, it holds a place. And when an argument builds with arguments upon arguments, experience upon experience, trauma upon trauma, it builds a stronghold. A stronghold is a fortress. It becomes hard to penetrate because it becomes our demeanor. It becomes our thought life. It becomes just who we are. We wear it. We carry it. We're mobile carrying strongholds. Why? Because Satan wants to rule you and me, even though we are purchased and loved unconditionally by God. He has to do it in the soul, has to do it in the second heaven, has to illegally insert through fear, intimidation, and manipulation, just like ISIS has done. Come in there, you don't believe in us. That's the devil. He's like that. He pushes, he pressures, he touches your emotions. And so just as for me to enter into the meekness and gentleness of Christ, I've got to take some intentional meditation, prayer, pursuit to go, I want to experience your meekness, Jesus. What is your meekness? I want to feel your meekness. And I use my intellect, I study the scripture, I open my heart in prayer, I enter through the blood, I step into the presence until meekness starts to come inside of me. I feel. That's how I can have new feelings. But to get rid of old feelings, I've got to do the opposite. I've got to cut words to explain my feelings. I feel when we worship so far away. I feel during Christmas just a sadness, and I don't understand why. I feel overwhelmed. That's just the beginning. I tell our interns continually, you come into the presence through what Jesus accomplished, his blood, his death, burial, resurrection, ascension, intercession, and you join in worship of that. Then tell God how you're doing. Open your heart in truth and approach him with a true heart, because you've got to get language. Don't be embarrassed how you feel. Be community. Communicate, right? Ladies, husbands, somebody in a marriage doesn't want the other party to be going through something and keep closing themselves up. They want to open up, and if you open up, then you can become one, and it brings light. So you tell God how you're doing, because that's how you get language for it. And you'll find that if you're dealing with an emotion, it has not words. It's lost its words because it's now just a motion. And that emotion is creating motion, and it's creating movement. And you don't even understand why you do what you do. You don't even know why you feel what you feel. You don't even know why you respond the way you respond. You don't even know how that thing comes up and takes over you. That is to be dismantled through language. Language, right? Jesus is the language. Yeah, he's word. I feel this. I feel that. It's like, and it's basic. Don't accuse. But if you feel like the thing, you just explain everything in feelings. It's basic marriage counseling. Never say to your wife, you always do that, or what you did was wrong. You say, when you do this, I feel like it's all the time. Right. The whole idea, there is no accusation now in heaven. Nobody can accuse you because God justified you, Romans 8. No one can condemn you because Christ already paid the price of your condemnation and went to hell, was raised from the dead, seated at the Father, making intercession, Romans 8. So we have to we have to unpack things without just letting the violence of the emotion take over, right? If you need to scream, get a pillow, put it in your mouth and go, ah! Or go to the ocean. It's a really wonderful place. I love it there. Get out in the waves and yell. Because to be honest with you, and this is a sidebar, and oh boy, we ran out of time. All of this commerce, it's like electricity that builds in the air, gets static electricity, you touch them, zap. Well, in what we would call it is powers. And powers will move through your soul, and after a while, you have to discharge it. Amen. We have to first and foremost, best discharge is worship. I give it all back to you. Give it all back to you. Give it all to you, good, bad, and ugly. Sometimes it is a travail, a groan you have no voice, no words for. Sometimes it's worship and whisper. Sometimes it's tears. Sometimes it's laughter. Release. Release. Sometimes it's language. I believe, I understand what's happening. So here's the deal. Catch this and then we'll pray. So I want you to know there's weapons that God has given us for this war. And they're here to pull down those strongholds. They're here to cast down imagination. Basically, what that means, destroy them. Demolition. Get some imagery. Gone. Scattered. Shattered. You say, well, it could take a long time. Sure could. But it could take no time. Get a picture of a man carrying 10,000 demons, living in the tombs, cutting himself with rocks, screaming in travail, being bound in chains so they could control him, and he breaks the chains because of the power of hell. This man, totally controlled by hell, meets Jesus. Jesus casts those demons out. When this town shows up, he is seated, which rest. He's fully clothed, which now he is covered, and he's in his right mind. Ha ha. Jesus. I want to encounter that Jesus. I don't need the 10-year Jesus plan. I want that immediately the devil was cast out. Immediately he thought he was in his right mind. Immediately he got up and followed him. I need the immediate Jesus. And that is there for us, not long, long time. So here's the part I want you to see. For the casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself. You see what we're talking about? The second heaven. I'm trying to take a place that isn't mine. I'm trying to take over somebody's land. It isn't mine. I'm trying to influence somebody that I shouldn't be. I'm trying to control something. Every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. That word knowledge. All of the other Greek words are just really appropriate English translation. But this one isn't knowledge like knowledge of President Obama. It's the gnosis. It's the knowing God. So better said is casting down every high thing that exalts itself against knowing God. You check yourself when you go to pray. Go to pray. The flood, the thoughts, the emotions, the feelings that say, you can't be here. Why are you here? What's the use of being here? It doesn't matter. Nothing changed. Whatever it is, that's something rising up. Why? It doesn't want you to have a connection. It doesn't want you to enjoy your union. It wants to interrupt, put a space between you, which means is where we get the Greek word separate. Separate you from love. Be like all of us here. We're here in this moment, or say Christmas sing-along next on Wednesday, and we're all having a lot of fun, and you come to church, and somebody meets you at the door and says, oh, you can't come in this room. You have to go over there. And you're sitting there and you're hearing all this fun and all this laughter and all this joy and you can't come in because there's a room between you. A lot of us feel that way. If we were to take a moment, a lot of us live feeling that way. We feel like we're not a part of something, we're disconnected. That's rejection. Or we feel like we're always sad even though everybody's happy. We don't understand where these things are from and we live with them And we have to understand that it's being imposed upon you. It's being forced upon you. It's not you. Amen. You are loved. And so we begin by saying, I am loved. I can't help it. God just loves me. And he likes me. And he favors me. And the word of God is for me. And I'm not going to lose my place because God has established my place. And you use your mouth to agree with God. But you also use your mouth to expose what's going on. You have to do that, brothers. I wish I could just push God on me, and that would be it. There's sometimes you've got to disengage what is going on, especially as we're maturing. Why are you so mad at somebody? Well, they did me wrong. Well, what did they do? Well, they didn't acknowledge me. Well, why is that wrong? Well, after all I did for them, they didn't even recognize what I did for them. Well, why? Why does that bother you? Because, no, there's God intruding in my life. Because it makes me feel like anything I do never matters and no one ever recognizes my contribution. It makes me feel like I don't belong. It makes me feel. So what are you doing now with your anger? I want to control. I want to make sure people don't do that to me. But that's not how I freed the world. I freed the world by the cross, not control. Why don't we release? Why don't we forgive? Why don't we let that thing be dismantled and cast down and broken apart and re-engage in my love? I love you. I'm there. Yeah, but I worked in the church all these years and didn't get any recognition, and that sinful, backsliding brother of mine shows up one day and everybody's bringing him up in the front. Look, you all, yay. Yeah. Whoa. It took me a long time to understand that God cannot love sacrifice, because then he would reward a servant mind. So if he rewards a servant mind, he would feed your fear and you would become a better worker. He doesn't want a better worker. He wants a lover. And a lover is not a lover if they are afraid of being displaced. So you see, that's what I'm saying. The dismantling can feel like it's piecemeal. But then one day, boom, it just crumbles. And never again do you have to face that with the same sense of dread, because now you've got, whoa, the light of the bright shining. It says here that they had a readiness to revenge the disobedience whenever the obedience was fulfilled. It says to bring all thoughts to obedience to Christ. All that literally means is that obedience is hearing under someone. So when I learn to hear under Jesus, I say, oh, this I'm in this situation and my life is crumbling apart and I don't know what to do. Oh, I need to hear under the Word of God again. I need to come back. How should I be feeling? I tell people all the time, I'm glad for the Bible because it tells me how to feel. It tells me how to think. It tells me how to respond. But I don't do it to prove, attain, or become. I do it as more like, okay, well, this is my testimony in the midst of this war. The blood is my answer, and my future's in his hands. So we're just going to disengage from the struggle and re-engage with the union. If you check yourself this week, be aware of love. When you let love touch you, let God's love touch you. And when love touches you, hold that love and watch as circumstances in the day come, they challenge your being loved. If I was loved, I wouldn't be here. If I was loved, this wouldn't be happening. This makes me feel unloved. This makes me feel uncovered, unprotected. Now, rather than just crumbling, trust me, I am an expert crumbler. I am an expert crumbler. I am learning. We were talking this with the interns. What do you do when you're in the presence, then you come out of that, and now you're in life circumstance, and the abiding's breaking? What do you do? And there are many things you do, but one thing you can do, I was saying, is you take a moment, pause, and reconnect. What do you do when your internet connection doesn't work? What do you when it drops you on a website? You go, oh, God, he doesn't love me. I lost my page. Oh, you just wait a moment and click again. Or if you're like me, you go. You are greatly loved. You are highly favored. You are sought after. You are privileged and blessed. And you have nothing in this earth you have to attain to enjoy that. And anything that you feel to attain, to enjoy, is a lie. You attain it, you won't get it. You will be mad at your dad because he doesn't give you a goat. You understand? He cannot reward a servant mindset, or he's going to have a bunch of servants. Now, nobody wants to marry their maid. All right, that's enough. Can I have all the people that were involved on Wednesday night just to come up here in the front, please, and the worship team? I'm open the door. This can go quickly. It can, and you will be released to move into the evening or the afternoon. Everybody coming up. Y'all, you were here on Wednesday. We're going to form two lines, one facing the other. And we're going to pray over all of us to step into love. To step inside of love. So let's all stand together. It'll help movement. There were at least 100 people here Wednesday night, so come on, guys. And Shabba-da-ba-ba. So once we have one line in front of the stage, just have somebody else face them, like a little further back, and then we're gonna split the line right here. We're gonna create two lines. All right. Now, yeah, get enough to face. Come on, you collapse yourselves inside, make a group. Whoa, golly. All right, anybody else here on Wednesday night? You were here. Come on. If you were here Wednesday night and you were breathing and you remember being here, I'd like your help. I really would. Just. All right, come on. Yeah. Everybody was here Wednesday night. Come on. Whoa. You two, get up here. What is this? No, you're up here, Mark. Come on. Everybody, yeah. Come on. You can be back there tomorrow. All right. Come on, everybody. Everybody take your right arm and wave it up to heaven. Take your left arm, wave it up to heaven. Turn around. Put your right foot in. All right, we're stepping out of mind. We're stepping into action. Good, Calvin. Good, you were here. Come on. Rob, you were here. You want to try that?
Yeah.
Come on. If you, the beloved of Christ, the one who is worshipped in that you are a part of the awe of all creation. Angels long to understand how you got in, and they didn't. You are so blessed. Everybody, just raise your hand. I want you to say, I am so blessed. I am blessed because of Jesus. I am accepted in the beloved. I am loved unconditionally. He is ferocious in his love for me. The blood of Jesus is the answer to all charges, all accusation, all failure, all sin. It is my answer to everything. The blood of Jesus makes me accept it and gives me my place. God's word is my future. I am not for wrath. I am for destiny. I have an inheritance. I am in Christ. I have a calling. I have been justified. I'm glorified. It'll be revealed, but it's already decided. I win because Christ won. I win because Christ won. I have a future. I have a hope. Yeah, that feels right. That's right. We're joining with Jesus. Now, what we're going to do, we're going to come down this center aisle, and when you come down, you can go left or right. Okay? That way, we have two glory realms so that we can go through, and then you're free to go. These guys are going to pray, bless, release. We're not going to take as much time as we can on Wednesdays. We'll do a lot more on New Year's Eve. But just, I want to release now over every single one of us, according to that confession of faith. I bless you, Jubilee. I bless you because you are loved, crazily loved. And I bless you with this song of being overwhelmed, looking up, lifting up your head, and beholding the one who loves you more than anything. I declare the strongholds that have resisted to be just cast down as we revenge this disobedience. I command lies that have embedded themselves inside of emotion to be exposed and broken apart. And I declare that anything that has exalted itself against an experiential union and joy of Jesus would be thrown to the ground and never again to be able to build itself into arguments and strongholds. I declare a union in joy, valued. I declare supernatural Holy Spirit experiences where you're minding your own business and all of a sudden you're overwhelmed in heaven. You're standing in line and all of a sudden God comes upon you and he loves on you. I break apart all staleness, all hopelessness, all despair. And I say, Lord, let the funnel of heaven pour love and life upon each and every one of us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now come on through.